In today's episode, I am talking to James Cridland from Pod News, all about podcasting trends in 2020. Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Podcasting Tips and Tricks. This show is brought to you by Podcast VA, where we make the podcasting journey easier by offering a variety of post-production support services. In this episode, I am talking to James Cridland from Pod News all about podcasting trends in 2020. Now, a little bit of a disclaimer here. I actually recorded this interview with James a few months ago before I got sick and before COVID-19 kicked in. So it has been sitting in the wings for a little while, but he is such a fountain of knowledge when it comes to all things podcasting that I really wanted to edit it and get it out. So James is a radio futurologist, a writer, a consultant, and a public speaker. He's the managing editor of podnews.net, which is a daily podcast newsletter, and he also runs media.info, the media information website. Now, we cover some generic worldwide trends happening at the moment, and as I just mentioned, we did record this prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, so we haven't included any specific data relating to this particular period. We talk about statistics, podcast movement conferences, and questions that people have raised in the Facebook group, so things like audio searches and how that will impact podcasting, niche podcasts, sponsorship, and so much more. Now, before we get into today's episode with James, I just wanted to mention the Facebook group that I run, the Australian Podcasters Collaborative. It is a fabulous group of podcasters. There's about 1,200 people in there now, and it is such a supportive and collaborative group where you can ask questions, you can ask opinions, you can share your episodes. So if you would like to join the conversation, head over to Facebook and search for the Australian Podcasters Collaborative, and I'd love to see you in there. Now, let's jump into today's episode with James Cridland. So one of the reasons I asked James onto the show today is because I met him quite early in my pivot or niche into podcasting when he joined the Brisbane Podcasters Meetup group back in, I think it was 2017. And I have seen James present on a number of different occasions, and I always walk away with lots of new and up-to-date information. So very much looking forward to having this chat with you, and he is just a fountain of knowledge when it comes to all things podcasting. So it's great to have you on the show today, James. Welcome.
It's really good to be here. Thank you so much for asking me on.
You're very welcome. Can we start with a little bit about your background and what you currently do in the podcasting industry?
Yes, I mean, I've worked in radio for 30 years was first involved in podcasting in 2005, in January of 2005, when I was working at a radio station in London, and I was writing RSS feeds, which is very thrilling and exciting. And I've been really sort of involved in the audio space, you know, obviously since. And in the middle of 2017, I started a podcast newsletter, which is called Pod News, which is very good.
Fabulous.
thank you. So that goes out every single day. Currently around 12,000 people get that every single day, which is a lovely thing. And very much sort of look at the industry and see what's happening, see how it's changing.
Yeah, fantastic. And wow, 2005, that is back around the time probably when the first podcast was released. It was a sort of 2004, 2005, wasn't it?
Yeah. So the first one was released in 2004. January of 2005, Apple hadn't even put podcasts into iTunes as yet. So it was still very new and very, you know, unusual. But one of the things that I was told to do at the radio station that I was working for is get us some press releases. So one of the easiest ways of getting a press release is we've launched a thing called a podcast. And then we had to explain what it was. And we also used a phrase, which I should just apologize for now, podvertising, because the very first podcast that we released actually did have advertising in it. And there was an advert for I think the UK government bought some advertising in there, and I think somebody else did as well, but I'm trying to remember who it was. But yeah, so it was, you know, very early on, we thought there's probably something here. And we ended up, I think after the first year, we ended up, every episode got about 11,000 downloads, which, to be honest, I would be quite happy with that now.
So. Yes, absolutely. That's a fantastic number. And who, like, the UK government buying advertising in a podcast back in those early days, it's a really fascinating story, actually. I love hearing some of those historical stories about, I can't think who it was we had at the Brisbane Podcasters Group, because it would have been back in 2018, and he was telling us his journey as well from doing a podcast back in 2004 or 5. So it's always fascinating to hear what it was like back then.
Yes. And I should just also say the other advertiser was Expedia, apparently. There you go.
Oh, Expedia, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of them.
Just a small company.
Yes.
Oh, so look, today we're going to cover a variety of topics, because I told the Australian Podcasters Collaborative Facebook group that I was interviewing and asked if they had any questions for you. So there's quite a few listener questions that we're going to come to, but I'm going to start with a fairly open-ended generic question, and that is, what are some of the current trends that you're seeing at the moment as we record this in early 2020?
Well, gosh. I mean, I think one of the trends certainly over the last year has been probably podcasting growing up a bit, and us seeing much more, much more work in terms of large organizations getting involved in podcasting, bringing some structure to the podcasting landscape, which has always been, you know, a wonderful sort of hodgepodge of professional podcasters, passion podcasters, you know, people who are doing it for fun, people who are doing it as a side hustle, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I think we are seeing now a bit more, professionalism coming in now with the Podcast Academy that was launched a couple of weeks ago. So as we record this, they're going to be doing a full, you know, glitzy awards ceremony in the US next year. The Australian Podcast Ranker, of course, has sort of, you know, really added some helpful numbers in there, and all kinds of other things as well. So I think that that's certainly what we're seeing, and that's uncomfortable for some people. But I think it's also probably a good thing for the industry as a whole. And, you know, we have here in Australia, we have very professional radio stations. We have very community radio stations, which aren't necessarily there to be as professional and as, you know, and as slick as some of the big commercial stations. But nevertheless, they also do a great job too. And I think that podcasting is just the same as that, really.
Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating to think now in 2020, it's still a growing industry considering it's been around for so long. And we will put some links into the show notes on the things that you've just mentioned about the Podcast Academy and the Australian Podcast Ranker. And yes, I certainly see it from my business. I've been in the podcasting space for about 3.5 years now, and it's just booming. So a lot of small businesses are coming into it. There's obviously a lot of brands as well that are doing it, as you mentioned, the radio stations. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to look out for. I think the Podcast Academy Awards will be a very interesting one. I know we have the Australian Podcast Awards, and there's other awards around for podcasting, but that will be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, the Australian Podcast Awards are happening again this year. It's going to be a really good, ceremony and everything else. And they are a really good way of looking at local talent from Australia. And I think the Podcast Academy, which happens in the US somewhere, probably New York, I would guess, will certainly help raise podcasting's profile, you know, across everywhere, really. So I think that's going to be really interesting.
So are there any statistics that you think are worth noting when we're looking at sort of trends that are happening worldwide? I know the number of podcasts is constantly growing. There's different countries that are leading the way. What statistics do you think
something that we can take note of when we're looking at trends.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly if you have a look at the amount of people consuming podcasts every month, that's a really helpful number. Here in Australia, it's 22%. So 22% of Australians listen to a podcast every single month. The US, it's about 32%. Canada is slightly higher still, at about 36%. So, you know, that's a great number to have a look at. The secret, I think, is to make sure that the numbers that you're looking at are comparable, because lots of different people put lots of different numbers together. So the numbers that I tend to look at are from Edison Research and numbers from the Edison Research Infinite Dial. Because they're specifically built so that you can actually compare them. So I think that that's a really helpful number. But also, you know, seeing certainly, America is growing faster than everywhere else. And that probably means that we are, you know, a couple of years after the US, and we will continue to grow, which is great news. And I think what we're, you know, certainly seeing is that podcasting outside of the US is beginning to really grow as well. So you have a look at places like India, which is seeing tremendous growth at the moment. You have a look, you know, obviously here in Australia, but also in other mainly English-speaking countries. And by that, I mean, of course, places like the UK and Canada and places like that, but also places like Denmark and Sweden and Finland, where they speak English at home just as much as we do. You know, I think those are useful because you can clearly see that there's a fantastic amount of growth there. So that's one thing. You know, yes, there are an awful lot of podcasts out there, 850,000 of them. And that's a lovely number, albeit sometimes a little bit of a scary number. I'm not really sure what that tells us, other than there are lots of people making podcasts, and that's a great thing. When you have a look at books sold in the US, well, there are over 1 million new books made available in the US alone every year. And nobody's saying, we have too many books, we should stop publishing books. So I don't think that's going to happen in terms of our industry either. So yeah, I think it's all good.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. And it's interesting to know that you mentioned the different numbers and the different places to find the research, because there are so many different numbers. I think I saw a graph at some stage that said that South Korea was miles ahead of other countries as far as their monthly listenership is concerned. But I really love that Infinite Dial report as well. So
yeah, I mean, the Infinite Dial report is great. It only covers five countries. I wish that they would cover more, particularly the UK, because I think that would be really helpful. But the other data, which comes from the Reuters Institute, that shows Korea, 58% of people in Korea consuming podcasts. Mm. You know, that is a tremendous amount. But what, of course, is interesting there is they are not listening to Joe Rogan. They're not listening to my podcast or to your podcast, sadly. They're listening to their own stuff. And looking at what their own stuff is, you know, again, it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of in the top charts in Korea at the moment. And by the way, they don't use Apple Podcasts either. But in the top charts in Korea at the moment, you know, it's interesting in that it is, you know, news podcasts, interview podcasts. Is number three is an interview with the gods of the economy sector, the sort of business interviews. So actually it's very similar to the podcast that we listen to, except obviously they're not actually in English. You actually learn English as a, you know, as a standard thing at school in Korea, but you know, certainly people are consuming podcasts mostly in their own language there, you know. So yeah, you know, there's a lot of really fascinating stuff going on, particularly the growth in Spanish language and Portuguese language podcasting as well is well worth a look at. And even things like the SBS here, they're producing podcasts in lots of different languages and they're doing really well. You know, SBS French podcast, for example, you know, which you wouldn't have thought would do, you know, particularly well, that is doing, you know, again, really fantastically well. So, you know, I think that there's some really interesting growth in stuff which isn't English speaking as well.
Mm. I didn't realize that the SBS were producing them in different languages. When you think about the trends or the stats and when you're talking about different things when you're presenting, do you see any trends that are specifically related to Australia?
I mean, you know, Australia is very similar in many ways to some of the other countries that I see. The ABC does a great job of producing some data every single year around how Australians are consuming podcasts. And some of the data that comes out of that actually seems to show that it used to be that people in the cap cities were the people who were listening to podcasts. Now it is everywhere, you know, whether you live in rural Australia, whether you live in the bush, in comparison to the big cities, you are still consuming podcasts now. So that's a great thing. The other thing that I find interesting from Australia is if you look at the most subscribed podcasts here in Australia, 4 out of 5 of those are not from Australia. They're from the US and from the UK. So, you know, and the ABC's data seems to show that actually most people, 2/3 of people, really don't care here in Australia whether that podcast that they're listening to is an Australian one. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, quite unusual if you look at the UK, where there are more British podcasts being listened to, in Canada, where there are more Canadian podcasts being listened to. And I wonder whether that's just because our media as a whole is full of American stuff. And, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why. I don't know. Mm. So there's a lot of, you know, really interesting data coming out around that. I mean, the other thing that I find odd about the Australian market is the adverts that you hear. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'll hear, you know, ads for Noodlebox and for, you know, AusPost and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes you'll hear ads for Casper Mattresses and for Blue Apron and for Geico Insurance, for companies that even if you wanted to, you can't buy from here. And it just seems such a wasted opportunity.
That is so, very strange ad placement, isn't it? Is that because they're using their hosts that perhaps aren't based in Australia? Why?
Yeah, and so that's just purely that they're sticking the same ad in everywhere, and the advertisers haven't yet cottoned on, I don't think, that, you know, 30% of their ads are being wasted, because, you know, I can't order Blue Apron if I live in the UK or if I live in Australia or indeed anywhere else. So,
yeah,
you know, that's a real wasted opportunity. And I think that, you know, you've got companies here who are now selling Australian advertisers into international advertising, international podcasts. So, you know, Wooshka does a great job of that here, as does Acast. And I think, you know, that's clearly going to be where we end up moving to.
Mm, yeah, I've heard people who are hosting with different, different hosts that are based in the US find it difficult to place Australian ads into if their audience is here in Australia. So it's certainly something that I talk to my clients when they're about to launch a show, or anyone who's about to launch a show, is just being mindful if monetization is something that they're interested in, to just think about those things up front, because that's right, it is a wasted opportunity if you're selling something to an audience that can't buy it.
Yeah. Hmm,
that's very interesting. So, moving away from the stats side of things, you've recently been over to the US for Podcast Movement Evolutions, and you obviously go to a lot of podcasting conferences around the world. How are you finding the audience and things happening there at the conferences? Are you seeing any changes that relate to, you know, trends and what have you?
Yeah, so I went to Podcast Movement Evolutions, which was the first ever event of that type. Podcast Movement run a big event every year in our winter in August time, and that's a great, their big sort of proper Podcast Movement, if you like, is a fantastic event. 3,000 people there. With, you know, tracks for professional podcasters, for, you know, radio companies, for people who are just starting out and everything else. Podcast Movement Evolutions, which happened in February in LA, was, you know, interestingly different in that it was very much more, it felt very much more divided into this is the thing for professional podcasters, you know, Wondery and Parcast and all of that. This is a track for them, and here's a track for the passion podcasters, and you will not talk to one another. And I think that was a bit of a, that was potentially a missed opportunity. It's something that Podcast Movement does an awful lot better. And I think Podcast Movement Evolutions was just, an interesting one. And I certainly left there feeling that the industry was a bit more sort of broken into two. But I don't know whether that was just because of the announcement of the Podcast Academy that got some of the old guard a little bit upset, or whatever. But you certainly see, I've been going to Podcast Movement for a good number of years now, and you can certainly see just a big change in the amount of exhibitors in the companies that are there. So you can see all of a sudden last year there was Spotify there, and there were Google there, and iHeartRadio was there, and all of these big names that would never have come to a Podcast Movement conference in the past. So that's, I think, again, shows the type of growth that we're actually seeing in the industry, that we're seeing large companies being prepared to put their money where their mouth is and actually make sure that they have as many podcasters on their platform as possible.
Yeah, that would have been quite different to see the people exhibiting there, the difference in the people exhibiting there. I know that I've heard people talking about Spotify putting a lot of money into podcasting and really growing that side of things. So it's interesting that it's been so long since, or they've never been before until last year. And I heard you mention you left Evolutions feeling like there was a real divide between the two. And I didn't quite understand what you meant until you just said then that you found that it was sort of that they didn't talk to each other at all.
I think part of that is due to the layout of the hotel and the layout of the place that we had it in that, it was very, very much different rooms in different parts of the hotel. And that's something that is easily fixed for next time. But I think it's also just partially how the industry is actually growing. And you are definitely seeing a lot of money being poured into the industry now by venture capitalists, by bankers, by investment companies who think that they can earn, a small fortune in this brand new world of podcasting. And they might be able to, who knows? But, that certainly changes the dynamic. But that dynamic has always been there. The first podcast conference that I went to was in July of 2005. I went as working for a radio station, and I got shouted at by the people who were, passion podcasters, who were basically saying, "How dare you invade our space? Oh. How dare you bring your horrible commercial, blah, blah, blah." And it was... It was quite a thing. And I think we kind of forget that actually at the end of the day, we do all need enemies.
Oh gosh, that's that's quite interesting, isn't it? Shouted out of the place. Well,
yeah. It was quite a thing. It really was quite a thing. And I was deliberately there to share as much information as I possibly could, and to, give the benefit of our understanding and of our knowledge. And it was basically, you don't understand podcasting. You'll never understand podcasting. You shouldn't be in this stuff. Get out, it's ours. And it was just really interesting. So maybe nothing has actually changed, but
we're just going back to the same as it was 15 years ago. Gosh. Wow. Well, I've got these Facebook questions that I'd like to sort of get into. But first question comes from Leanne Hughes. And Leanne's asked, can you explain a little bit about audio searches and the impact that'll have on podcasts? So should we be changing anything to improve searches? So she's heard that Google will be able to run audio searches, and she's just wondering how we can use that to our advantage.
Yeah, so both Google and indeed Apple are both adding searches into their apps, where if you search for something, then it won't just search through the show description or the show title. It will also search through the audio. So if I start talking about pink elephants, and then at some point in the future when you are searching Apple Podcasts or searching Google for pink elephants in a podcast, then you might find this podcast, which would be a strange experience. And the good news is you don't need to do anything. It would help if you spoke in an American accent. and it would also help if obviously the audio quality is as good as it possibly can be, because that certainly helps as well. But at the end of the day, that technology is coming, and we don't necessarily need to do anything to actually turn that on. The one thing that I would say though is make sure that your episode notes and your show description is as clear as you possibly can, and make sure that it has the right keywords in there. So if you are doing a podcast about business, then don't just use the word business, use entrepreneur, use company, use firm, use all of those words. Don't stick it in a big keyword list, but actually, weave it into the description that you have, but make sure that you are using the right phrases, the right words that people would actually search for. Mm-hmm. And one of the examples I always give actually is a Parcast, and Parcast is a big publisher in the US. And what Parcast does is it has a brilliant way of naming its podcasts. So they have a podcast about mythology, which is called Mythology. They have a podcast about con artists, which is called Con Artists, and a podcast about serial killers, which is called Serial Killers. And they do that because people are searching for, I wonder what podcasts there are about mythology. And they search for mythology into Apple Podcasts or into Google Podcasts. And guess what? The number one result will be a podcast called Mythology, because that's how searches work. And I think it's a really clever idea to not call your podcast something really clever. Because yes, it's nice, but if you have to explain what your podcast is about all the time, then you're probably doing something wrong there. So try and call your podcast, or use those phrases in your show description, something which is really obvious, which does what your podcast, says what your podcast does as clearly as you possibly can. And that's clearly a way to help both audio searches in the future, but also searches right now as well.
That's really interesting. I'm glad I'm going to come up for pink elephants, because I imagine that there'll be a lot of people looking for podcasting advice, and they're going to search for pink elephants. But thank you for that. That's good. But it's so interesting because I speak to people again all the time who are really sort of stuck on how should I name my show. And I certainly went through a bit of that when I was thinking about launching my show, and I just thought, just say what it is for me. Like, it's just easier than having to, I think some of the quirky names are really clever, but then, as you say, like, if you've got to describe what it is, if you've got to constantly sort of tell people what it's about, then you need to make sure that that is really clear in the description.
Yeah. And there's a reason why the newsletter that I do is called Pod News, because it should be pretty obvious
exactly
what that actually is. But by the way, it is also not generic enough that I can actually then go out and get it registered as a trademark as well. So so there is a sort of a bit of a balancing act there of trying not to be too generic, because then you can't actually look after your brand.
Yes.
But also try not to hide what your podcast is all about.
Yes. So, yeah. And I have that with just my business name, Podcast VA. I can't trademark it because it's too generic, but it just explains perfectly what we do. So yeah, it's an interesting balance, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Yes. I run a website called Media Info. And I tried no.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to happen. I learned my lesson there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I've learned my lesson with Podcast VA. I have to say there's others out there, and it's just a lesson that you learn, isn't it? But okay. So the next question we have from Kayleen Bell, and she's asking, which quite a few others jumped on this one too and said, yes, they would love to know this. They'd love to know more about the average downloads, and not for the top podcasters, but for the average podcasts.
It's really interesting, actually, the amount of information out there, because there is very, very little. In terms of the data, really the only people that release that data are a hosting company called Libsyn, and Libsyn have been there forever, and they have a podcast called The Feed, and Rob Walsh occasionally goes through some of the average downloads and talks about medians and averages, because apparently those are different and blah blah blah. The way that he talks about it, which is actually quite an interesting way of talking about it, is he will point out downloads and then say, if you get this amount of downloads, you are better than half of the podcasts out there. So an average isn't actually that useful. Mm-hmm. But if you are getting, and this is data from the middle of 2018, but it hasn't changed that much, if your podcast episode gets 850 downloads in the first 30 days, 850 downloads, then you are better than half of all the podcasts out there. 850 downloads, that's all you need. Mm. If you're getting more than 1,200 downloads per episode after 30 days, you're better than 80% of the podcasts out there, which is all pretty good. And I think also shows how many podcasts there are out there that are getting very low amount of downloads, at all. But, you know, bear in mind that Joe Rogan is also in that list. And and so is Radiolab, and so is the New York Times Daily. So so that will clearly push the numbers up an awful lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen those stats, and I've got a link, so I'll pop those into the show notes as well, so that you can see them. And I think that the important thing there too is that you've just got to remember that even if you're on the lower end of the numbers, if it's still working for you, or you're enjoying it, or you're loving it, if it's a business project and you're getting leads, or it's meeting the purpose of why you're doing your podcast, and if it's a passion project and you're loving it, then the numbers don't really need to compare. But it is interesting to know. I've seen those stats, and they are quite interesting to look at. So I'll pop a link to those in the show notes as well.
Yeah, and those numbers are useful, because those numbers also, are also just a good benchmark for where you are. But as you say, actually, you know, at the end of the day, a podcast is not a broadcast. We don't call it a broadcast, and we call it a podcast for a very specific reason. Actually, you can do some really niche podcasts that might only go to, you know, I mean, if you're doing, if you're doing underwater perch fishing as a podcast, then there are probably only going to be 100 people maximum in the world who might listen to that podcast. And if you're doing 20 downloads per episode, you're doing fantastically. So, so just bear in mind that actually every podcast, you are talking to a niche. And you're not going to be a Joe Rogan. You're not going to be as large as that, because your podcast should probably be a bit more focused and a bit more targeted, mm-hmm. rather than just being, you know, something for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've certainly got some questions about niching coming up. So yes, that is very true. And there are some really niche podcasts out there, as you say. And if you're talking to exactly the people that you want to talk to, then sometimes those numbers are exactly meeting your goals. So that's really important. So we'll come to those. The next question we have is from Toosie Sly, and she asks, has cancel culture evolved the podcasting world per se?
So cancel culture, as I understand it, is where people get very upset on social media and say, oh, we should all boycott, let's stop going into Starbucks because they have plastic straws, or, you know, I mean, I would rather stop going to Starbucks because the coffee isn't very nice. But it's that sort of culture, as I understand it, and so everybody rushes to cancel things. I have a story about this, actually. Patreon, which quite a lot of people use to get money from their audience, get donations from their audience, they had a bit of a rocky time a couple of years ago. And I saw lots of people going, oh, Patreon, it's dreadful. It's kicked off. It kicked off some horrible, nasty podcaster. And, you know, oh, anti-free speech. We should all boycott Patreon. And I saw like lots of this stuff. And I thought, well, heavens, maybe I should, because Pod News has quite a lot of Patreon income. Mm. And I thought, right, well, maybe I should be looking at something else other than Patreon. And one of my Patreon donators came to me and said, you know, do you have anything else? Because I don't want to use Patreon anymore because free speech. Mm. And so I thought, right, well, I better go and write something. So I ended up spending a couple of days writing a brand new donation system that people could use. And I pretty well hid Patreon and I used my new donation system. And no one used it. Ah. And everybody was perfectly happy using Patreon. I added a little link which says, you can also use Patreon if you want to. And Patreon was, and you know, just that little link, yeah. Also use Patreon if you want to. Everybody went, oh, yeah, I understand what Patreon's all about.
Yeah.
And ended up doing that. So I think quite a lot of these, social media storms are not actually reflective of what most people end up doing. And I think actually, you know, change is very slow and change happens far slower than anybody thinks. And I think, you know, we should probably just weather the storm there.
Mm-hmm. Tuzi also has another question. Is YouTube podcasting the evolution to podcasting in terms of trends?
YouTube is really interesting. So I'm currently showing some German data from YouGov around YouTube. So YouGov asked people in Germany, how do you listen to podcasts? What do you listen to podcasts on? And virtually everybody said, we listen to podcasts on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So 45 to 54-year-olds, 50% said, we listen to podcasts on YouTube. Number one by far. Number one by far for virtually every single age group, apart from young folk between 18 and 24. And I wonder how much of that is driven by Joe Rogan, and I wonder how much of that is driven by those sorts of shows. Because I don't necessarily call YouTube somewhere where I would go to consume podcasts. Mm. And maybe part of the conversation here is actually the definition of a podcast and what a podcast really is. Because I think that those are different, you know, in comparison to, you know, I would call a podcast something which is audio. Mm. And clearly some people don't. But what I would recommend in terms of YouTube is use YouTube because it's a great way of getting in front of people that maybe aren't listening to your podcast right now. If you have video content, obviously do that. Video content is expensive to do well, expensive to make it look good. But, you know, by all means use that. By all means use services like Headliner to post little clips of your podcast onto YouTube so that people find it there. And, you know, for some podcasts, it's a really important thing. I think for most podcasts, it probably isn't quite as important as some of the data actually shows.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? A lot of people are repurposing their podcasts onto YouTube, which is, I guess, fine if you've got the video recordings. Like you said, using Headliner app and doing snippets that are encouraging people to go and then find your podcast to listen, I think is better than just, you know, turning a whole episode into a Headliner app and then putting that onto YouTube. I know they didn't like that in the past, but I don't know how they're changing that. But certainly not somewhere I'd go and listen to a podcast either. But there are a lot of people now that are saying, well, I actually do a video podcast, and they might not even be pushing the audio to the main directories like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google Podcasts.
Well, if you want to make a TV show, make a TV show. That's absolutely fine. I've not got anything against making a TV show, but making a TV show is very different to making a podcast and very different to, you know, crafting some great audio. Particularly, it's much harder to edit. It's harder to edit out the ums and the ers in video because everything jumps around and it just looks difficult. So just focusing on something which is a great piece of audio, and the benefits that we have in audio, which means that I can drive to work and listen to a podcast. I can't watch a video while I'm driving down the highway.
That's it.
that would be dangerous. And there's real opportunities that we have in audio that quite a lot of TV folk would kill for. The fact that you can consume our stuff while you do other things is a tremendous opportunity for us. And I think we ignore that at our peril.
And people are. I mean, if you look at the statistics, the reports, you go and look at the Edison, the Infinite Dial report and things like those, you will see that people are mainly multitasking when they're listening to podcasts. They're probably not sitting down and just listening to them. Well, I suppose the trend changes a little bit there too, but mainly they are multitasking.
Yeah, and you know, and again, it differs as to what the podcast is. If it's an audio fiction podcast, actually, there are lots of people who do sit and listen to it, or fall asleep to it. But if it's a you know, if it's an interview podcast such as this, this is much more likely to be something that people are listening to while they do other things. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't commute because I work from home, but I listen to a lot of podcasts while I take the dog for a walk, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, and I certainly couldn't watch a video. So, you know, so if you want to make a TV show, great, go make a TV show. I certainly wouldn't stop you, but I'm not sure that that's a podcast, really.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's, I actually love that you brought up the sleeping, fall asleep to it, because there's even sleep podcasts out there. So, you know, if you have troubles falling asleep, I think there's podcasts out there that you can put on and it will help you fall asleep. So interesting. I guess some people are actually sitting down and.
Yeah, there's a podcast called Sleep Whispers. And Sleep Whispers is literally a man called Harris who whispers different things. He whispers stories and all kinds of stuff. I would recommend it. He reads Pod News and occasionally gets in touch and everything else. And he is currently number 94 in the Albanian podcast chart.
Oh, there you go, Albanian podcast chart. So I just find that whole, that's fascinating. There's fiction podcasts, there's even podcasts to help you get to sleep. So there you go. If you need if you need help sleeping, then go and have a look for that show. Our next question from Dave Norris is, what is the best way to syndicate your show? What have you observed that is working really well?
So, I mean, way number one, of course, is to get onto as many podcast directories as you possibly can. So, yes, of course, be in Apple Podcasts. Make sure that you're in Spotify, which you need to do differently. My tip to you is always do that yourself. If your podcast host offers you the option of, you know, you can press one button and you can add it, that's fine. But that probably means that you're going to be tied into that podcast host for life, and that may not be a good plan. So always add your podcasts yourself to your directories. If you look at the top five podcast places that you should probably be in, Apple Podcasts is number one, because that actually goes on to loads of other places as well. Spotify, Stitcher, which is about responsible for about 2% of plays. Then Google Podcasts, which you don't need to worry about because Google will just find you anyway. And then everything else. And there are many, many of them. There's a, if you do a search for podcast directory on podnews.net, then you'll find a big list of them. So make your podcast be available in as many places as possible. But also, I mean, syndication of podcasts is also a lot around marketing of your podcast and making sure that people are aware of it. And one of the things I would always recommend is, if you are a podcast about, you know, underwater fishing, then go to the underwater fishing Facebook groups. They'll exist. And go to the underwater fishing Reddit group as well. And participate. Don't just post links to your podcast. That's spamming. But participate. Be a useful member of that community, and you will get two things out of that. You will get a load of content, which is brilliant for you, but also you will be seen by other people in that community as, you know, as a real go-to person They will seek out your podcast because of that. And that's a great way of getting your podcast out there, both online and also, you know, obviously in the real world. Go to meetups, go to, you know, those sorts of things as well.
Yep. Absolutely. Great advice there. Okay. Our next question is from Hasara Lay, and she's asking, what are the trends in the podcast sponsorship space? So she notices that it's quite easy for their podcast to get sponsorship. They are a very niche podcast, all about cat exploring. But that may be because they work with a lot of the brands across their podcast now. So she's curious to see what's happening in other niches and sponsorships.
Did you just say cat exploring?
I said cat exploring. When I first spoke to Sarah, I remember thinking, that is a really, really niche. So they don't even go as broad as putting your cat onto a lead and walking the cat. They're talking about putting the cat into the backpack and going exploring with it. And you know, on she has had some fascinating guests. It is very, very niche. And they're doing amazingly.
What's the name of that podcast?
It's called Cat Explorer.
Cat Explorer.
If go and look it up. They're doing amazingly well. Yeah. They do very well in the charts, and they have some amazing guests. And it's just a whole different world that I never knew existed. So
Wow.
You can use that example instead of the underwater perch fishing.
Yes. It's probably a better plan. So, and, you know, I mean, and I think that what they have shown is that the more niche you are, the more likely you are to get sponsorship anyway, because actually you are clearly doing something which is attracting a specific audience that some people will want. Probably Casper Mattresses aren't going to be very interested in that podcast, but probably you could assume that, you know, a cat food company, a cat harness company, a whatever it might be, would be more interested in that particular thing. So, I think you can certainly see there being real opportunities there in being niche. I mean, there are also a ton of new companies who are doing sponsorship and who are helping put sponsors together with podcasters. So there's one called Podcorn, which is out there at the moment, which is doing that sort of thing. There's a bunch of other ones as well. And I think, you know, there are, I think that's one of the interesting sort of changes that we're seeing in the industry now is it's being understood now that there are advertisers out there that want to advertise in podcasts. And there are also podcasters out there that want to find advertisers but don't know how to find them. Mm. And so companies like Podcorn and others will actually square that circle and actually make it easier. So that's certainly one of the trends that I'm certainly seeing there. Yeah.
Yep. Fantastic. And then the last question from the Facebook group is, and I think we've touched on niching. So how to thrive as a niche podcast from Yishan Chan.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said a lot there, and certainly making sure that you are part of your niche and part of your community is a really important thing, you know. So if you are doing something which is unique and which is unusual, then absolutely make sure you take part in that community, you know, as much as you can.
Well, we are nearly about to wrap up. I like to ask two questions of everybody that comes on the show, and this is going to be an interesting one for you, because I'm going to take you right back to 2005 and ask you, what do you wish you'd known when you started podcasting?
Oh, crikey. What I wish I knew. I guess I was lucky in that when I was starting Pod News, I knew quite a lot of stuff from my previous career in radio, you know, so therefore that was a handy thing. I tell you, one of the things I wish I'd have known is, and things that I tell podcasters as well, are two things. Firstly, it's learn how to use the equipment that you have. Please don't go out and spend more money on better microphones or on, you know, better soundproofing and all of that kind of stuff when you could actually learn how to get the best out of the equipment that you have. Mm. And one of the things that I certainly spot a lot is that there are lots of people out there who have had no formal training. No one has sat down with them and said, how do you talk into a microphone? You know, what is the best way of talking into a microphone? That microphone that you have there, are you actually using it on the correct pickup setting? Are you actually talking into it in the right way, you know, et cetera, et cetera? So I think that's one of the things that, I mean, certainly I would have benefited from, you know, having had some of my broadcast engineer friends telling me, this is the sort of microphone that you need, but also this is how to use it. Mm. This is how close to get to it. This is how to do X, Y, and Z with it. That's a really helpful thing. And I think the other thing that goes along with that is the amount of people who use Audacity as a podcast editor is very high. And the reason for that is it's free. And it's not bad. But to be honest, it is also not good. And one of the things that Audacity is really difficult at is just making a good sounding podcast. And one of the things that, you know, if I could tell anyone, is the difference between a destructive audio editor, which is what Audacity is, where if you edit something out and then later you think, oh, I wouldn't mind actually putting that back in again, you can't. You're stuck because you've edited it out. Whereas if you're using a non-destructive audio editor, and I use Hindenburg Journalist Pro, which is an expensive one, but if you're using a non-destructive audio editor, then it means that you can do other edits. You can go back and say, actually, no, I've changed my mind about that particular thing. And you would not believe how much that speeds things up, mm-hmm. and how much that makes you make a better podcast, you know, at the end of the day. And Hindenburg Journalist Pro also does things like it just sets levels for you, so you don't have to worry about that. It automatically does that bit. It automatically outputs the file in the right format at the right loudness, so that it's as loud as everything else, and it just sounds okay. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all of those sorts of little tools, I spent a year playing around with Audacity because it was free and getting really frustrated with it because it was just really annoying to do the sort of thing that I just wanted to record a podcast. I didn't want to fiddle around with all kinds of stuff. And so I wish that I had found alternatives sooner than I actually had done.
That's very good advice, because I would probably just say to somebody, if they need to, my advice has been, you know, if you need something to get started, then have a look at Audacity. But that is great advice. And there are other alternatives out there.
I mean, Audacity is fine. Audacity is fine, but there are other alternatives out there. And, you know, all of them come with a free trial. Reaper, I hear good things about, but Reaper again is a music editor, as Audacity mm-hmm. is. You don't need a music editor when you're making a podcast. You need an editor which is specifically to help you make audio stories, and that's what Hindenburg is. There are others as well. And you know, they all have a free trial. It's worthwhile just having a play, watching the YouTube videos, understanding what the difference is in between a music editor and a podcast editor. Yeah. And that's a really helpful thing.
Okay, excellent. We'll pop a link to Hindenburg Journalist into the show notes as well. And well, you might have covered this already, but my last question to you is, what is your best podcasting tip?
What is my best podcasting tip? I would just have a plea for editing. Editing is a really helpful thing. So Roman Mars, who makes a podcast called 99% Invisible, he says, if you have 10,000 listeners and you edit 1 minute out of your podcast because it wasn't the best 1 minute, then you've actually saved 10,000 minutes in the world and you are practically a superhero. And I love that, because that is absolutely true. One of the wonderful benefits that we can do as podcasters is we can edit and we can polish and we can make stuff sound as good as we possibly can. Don't go mad, but you know, if there was a question that didn't work, then edit that out. Don't leave it in. If you got interrupted by somebody doing something in the middle of the podcast, don't leave it in there because it's quite funny when your daughter comes in and makes a noise. Edit it out. Please edit it out, because nobody else is going to find that
funny. I actually laugh when you say that, because that happened to me on a podcast a little while ago, and it was my daughter who ran in. I was a guest on someone else's show and my daughter ran in and I was like, no, and I just had this meltdown moment of like, please, like, can we, and it was like, no, we'll just leave it in there. I was Oh,
yeah, we'll just leave it in there, blah, blah, blah. And you know, and there are some funny things. I recorded a podcast once because my partner also works from my home office. I recorded a podcast mistakenly out on the deck. And here in Australia, we have very loud cockatoos.
Yes, we do.
And they decided at that particular point to congregate round round my house, make a lot of bloody noise. And so I ended up having to, you know, clap them off and everything else. And the podcaster did a brilliant job of both editing out all of me, you know, getting rid of the birds, but also actually getting a little clip of that and saying, you know, we recorded James out on his deck and, you know, and he had to cope with this sort of thing. Put a little clip in there. That sounded great. And then, you know, the main podcast happened and you didn't hear any of that stuff. And I thought that was a really clever way of doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So. Oh, it just reminds me of somebody in the Facebook group who had mating koalas recently when she was about to, about to record. She's like, I just can't record. And a few of us were like, could you put a little clip in and make some kind of joke about it? But yeah, editing is your friend.
Yes, I would not know what mating koala sounds like.
It's quite a unique sound. It's not something you want in the back of your podcast, that's for sure. No. So look, we are about to wrap up. So I would love it if you could share with listeners the best place for them to get in contact with you and find out a little bit about what you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So podnews.net is obviously the place to go. It's a free newsletter. If you really want, you can also talk to your smart speaker and you'll find Podnews in there on as a daily news briefing. But the podcast's good. The newsletter's better, as they say. And you'll also find me personally at james.cridland.net. That's CRIDLAND.net. You can find out more information about me there.
Perfect. And if anybody is interested in hearing all the latest info on podcasting, then the Pod News newsletter and podcast. But the newsletter does have so much information and it also lists a whole lot of events that are happening around the world and what have you. So definitely jump on there.
Yeah, and jobs and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. It's fantastic. I love Pod News. So thank you very much for coming on the show today, James, and we'll chat soon.
We will. Thank you so much.
This podcast is brought to you by Podcast VA. Podcast VA is helping people get their message out to the world via podcasts and just making that podcasting journey a little easier by offering a variety of support services. If you'd like further information about how we can help, please head over to the website podcastva.com.